All right. Less than a minute to go, everyone. Get ready.
Make me nervous.
Join the meeting.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
I don't know why it's saying that. It is 7:30 and I hit the record button.
Okay. The Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Zimmerman?
Here.
Mr. Tillery?
Here.
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Reggio? Where is he? Mr. Blount? Mr. Patel?
Here.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for the salute to the flag?
To the Republic, which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
justice for all.
Mr. Keneally, do we have any changes to the agenda?
Yes, we have two changes to the agenda tonight. The application of Kiran Kaduri, 17 School Street, is adjourned to May 27th. No further notice by the applicant. The second change is the application of Michael Murray, 611 and 616 William Street, is also adjourned until May 27th with no further notice by the applicant. Those are all the changes that I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Let's move ahead to item number 5, 21ZB-09V, Alan Olegario?
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Hi there.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Alan Olegario, 2 Emmett Court, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you would like to do here?
We are looking to put in a pool on our property. And we need a variance.
Henry?
Where's Al? Mr. Hinterstein.
Mr. Hinterstein, are you muted?
Unmute.
Yes. I looked at this application there if the board members haven't really looked at it. It's a unique property. It has three frontages, not one, not two, but three. So there's definitely a hardship with this this property due to the fact that it has those three frontages. The location where the pool is to go, I don't see any impacts from that location. All the homes on Emmett Court back up to Hanson Avenue. So I think it's an appropriate location. I really don't see anything. I think the applicant did receive a fence variance previously for the fence located along Hanson Avenue. And I think there was a landscape requirement for that fence. So I would just state that if you give approval that that landscape requirement on the outside of the fence remain in effect for that to be maintained. Other than that, I don't see any issues with this application.
Okay, thank you, Henry. Anyone else on the board have any questions for this application? Hearing done, I'm gonna open it up to the public portion. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Hearing none, I'll close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second. Warren?
Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. Please call the roll, Laura.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Did Mr. Reggio make it? No. Mr. Blount? Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Olegario, you've been granted an approval. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting. We'll mail a copy of that document to you.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck, sir. Have a good night. Let's move on to item 6, 20-ZB-10V, Michelle Hutchinson. You out there, Michelle?
Yes, I'm here.
Ms. Hutchinson, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Sure.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Michelle Hutchinson, 204 Elizabeth Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Sure. When I purchased the property 4 years ago, there was an existing fence and shed, and it comes to my attention that it wasn't approved, or there wasn't any anything on file for it. So I just submitted paperwork for a variance.
Henry, you have some comments on this, sir?
Yeah, looking at this one, I had a few minor comments. I think we're going to need a 5-foot temporary construction easement for future road improvements on Elizabeth Avenue. So we would ask for that. And then the fence in question is a small section around the existing area. I don't see any issues with the fence. Really, the only ask would be the 5-foot temporary construction easement for future roadway improvements.
Can I just ask what that is? I don't know what that is.
The township is probably going to do some road improvements in the future. They may do sidewalk. And typically what we would do is we would ask for this temporary construction easement so that if they disturb the grass on your property or drive a truck tire on your property when they're redoing the sidewalk, that they have the ability to do that, to do the improvements, but everything has to be restored at the completion of the work. And it's, again, it's only for that purpose. The township never comes in and does any road work or reconstructs the sidewalks. They wouldn't need that, but we ask for it because my understanding is that Elizabeth Avenue is on the books for, I guess, work in the near future. And so when an applicant comes in, what we ask is for that temporary construction easement. Again, it's not a permanent easement. It's solely when that construction takes place. They have the ability, I believe in this case, 5 feet to veer off the property line a little bit. Usually it's just for grading and if they disturb that area when they do sidewalk work typically.
Okay, and that's just if there is some work that's going to get done.
Correct.
Just during that time.
Correct, and that's what it would be known for. I believe the township attorney typically prepares that. So they would prepare that for you and you would just have the ability to review it. I think there's a period of time that it's good. And if it's not used in that time, I think it expires. But that would be a question for the township attorney or whoever prepares that easement for you.
Okay.
Is that okay, Ms. Hutchinson?
Yeah, so just 5 feet from the street during a time if there is any construction going on.
If there is, there's a possibility they might not ever come out there. We don't know. But
okay.
Moving forward, if there was the possibility, we'd need to have that acquired.
Okay, so just during that time during construction.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Henry. Anyone else on the board have any questions for this applicant? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public portion. Anyone in the public portion have any questions for this?
Yes. Yes.
Ask them if you can hear
me. Board?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, can yes, you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes, sir.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Could I have your name and address, please?
My name is Kenneth Bites. I live at 201 Elizabeth Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey, directly across the street from Ms. Hutchinson at 204.
Could you spell your last
background,
name?
My family has lived here for 105 years on that block, and I have lived 70 plus years of my life at that address.
Sir, could you spell your last name, please?
B-E-I-T-Z.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please continue, sir.
Yes, I read these papers, and we have, there's some problems we have here, and I'd like to address them, and I appreciate your listening on this. She writes in her own handwriting, I would like to permit for the shed and fence to be on her property like I've been there. Having lived here all this time, I know the fence is not her problem. It was there put in quite a while ago. I have no beef about the fence whatsoever, as long as it stays where it is. being she has some Christmas thing on it, like some plastic stuff, is not a by a code thing. I have no problem with that either. The thing is, the shed, I have some notes if you bear with me. The shed was put up, first of all, there was never a legal shed there, ever. I knew the other people, I knew the whole neighborhood very well. The shed was built on 11/20 of 20. 2 months later, January the 25th, a survey was done. I noticed it because I'm retired and I live there. Now, later after that, she gets a permit for this. Now, when you build a shed or you build anything, she was well aware. The dimensions are correct from what I found, and no problem about dimensions. However, she was completely aware that she needed a permit. You don't put the horse behind the cart. You get it and you do it properly. Now, the main contention of this is ordinance. We have an ordinance here. If you give me, I don't mean to take long, but I'm not gonna take long at all. First, I have in front of me here the schematic, the survey. If all the gentlemen, Mr. Cahill, could all you gentlemen please get the land survey, her picture out so you can follow me? Thank you. If I'm speaking too loud, please tell me. I'm not used to Zoom. Let me know when you all got it.
Please proceed.
Okay, please continue. We have other applications. Go ahead. They're right.
Thank you. Yes. If you look on the top, Elizabeth Avenue, the very top of the paper says Elizabeth Avenue, 50-foot right of way per the tax map. Okay. Now, if you go to the curb and the very property line right on that X, they have a basketball net there with a pole. The net hangs over the street and the pole is there on the edge of the property. It's not supposed to be there according to law. It's ordinance. Ordinance is a law. Now, what I'm saying is the essence of this is the reason she needs a variance is because if under today's rules, if that lot was empty, you couldn't even build a house there, you need a variance. The neighborhood is too small and tight. As you can see, she has a 14-foot setback. And then putting it right out to the street closer, even closer to our house, right outside my door, which is 25 feet off the public right of way. I have the ordinance that specifically says no obstruction of any kind whatsoever shall be in the public right of way.
Okay, sir, let me interrupt you. I need to interrupt you. The zoning board is not an enforcement bureau. If you believe that the basketball hoop is in violation of the ordinance, you need to call code enforcement. The zoning board doesn't.
The zoning board doesn't have any
jurisdiction over a basketball court and a net. What the applicant is here for is the fence and the shed. So please limit your comments to the fence and the shed.
Okay. The shed is violating the ordinance because she did not get a permit for it, and she has multiple offenses for zoning, including that basketball net we won't talk about. Therefore, I denied a shed, and she could take it down. The neighborhood is too old, too close together, and I'm an environmental person. I was in the Order of the Arrow of the Boy Scouts for many years, and I was a leader. I am environmentally concerned. Mr. Cahill, I believe his family and his wife are also. There is too much overbuilding in this area and it should not be done. And if you do it, I should recommend it be a $2,000 maximum fine. Thank you.
The zoning board does not have the jurisdiction to fine applicants.
No, thank you, sir. That's what the thing is. Now, excuse me, there's three people that would wish to speak here. We only logged in as one. So there's two more people to come. I'm mounting that to Laura, okay?
Can we just discuss the shed and the fence, though, okay?
Pardon me?
Let's just discuss the shed and the fence. No more talk about the basketball. That's something else we can't deal with.
The like I said, the fence, I have no problem. The shed, she was very well aware, and she did this and went ahead with it for 2 months and 3 months and 4 months. You don't do it that way. Okay. She knew what she did.
Really, we need to speed this up a little bit, sir. I'd like to listen to the other two people, please. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Hold on, please.
Will do.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for yours.
Ma'am, could I have your name and address, please?
Yeah, I'm Kathy Lewis. I live at 201 Elizabeth Avenue.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
In reviewing the information, I just wanted to clarify a couple things, and basically regarding the fence, because the only piece of vinyl fence that she has is a small L-shaped decorative piece to screen the air conditioner unit. So that's negligible. Aside from that, she's got a chain link fence. So by the wording here, I just didn't want the board to think that she had a 4-foot solid vinyl fence around the bulk of her property.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Is there a third person that's going to be talking?
Yes, I'll be very quick. My name is Karen Martino. I swear to tell the truth about everything I'm about to say. I live at 218 Elizabeth Avenue.
Can I have your name again, please?
Karen Martino, Martino.
Thank you.
The board is here to uphold ordinances and laws and, you know, listen to people that want to put up fences, sheds, whatever. You know, this property, this area, there's many houses in this area that need variances, and because of the setbacks, because they're so far back. You know, what is upsetting to me is that this woman went and put up a shed without the proper permit and approval. I had to put up a whole entire fence around my whole entire yard because I have a pool, because I had to do it the right way. I had to abide by the rules and abide by the laws. It's very upsetting to me that this woman went ahead and put up a shed and is now asking for variances without any penalty whatsoever. This should not be allowed. There should be some justice about, you know, doing the right thing and doing it in the right order. And that is all I want to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
And I do want to say that the basketball is in the middle of the street and it's very dangerous. I do want to say that.
You'd have to call the code enforcement on that.
Yeah, I hear you, and I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if I could just speak really quickly, I'm so sorry. So they did call code enforcement. Code enforcement came out. I got a letter that there was nothing wrong with it. So there's...
That's a lie. That's a lie. I will not tolerate a lie. The woman's done her own.
Back and forth like this.
Yeah, we can't do this. Ms. Buckley, is
it's your recognized time.
Ms. Buckley, is there anyone else in the public portion?
No one is raising their hand, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. Henry, do you have any outstanding issues with this application the way it stands?
No. The reason they need a variance, this wouldn't have had to come here. It's an undersized lot. All of the variances, with the exception of that small little screen fence around the AC unit, are all for pre-existing conditions. That's an undersized lot. The shed itself conforms to the ordinance. It's in a conforming location. There's no issue with the shed. The only issue was that, again, due to the fact that she has an undersized property, whatever she does would trigger a variance. But the shed itself isn't exacerbating any of the coverages on the property. It's, you know, the lot width, the area, they're all there already. So everything is fine. Like I said, the only item was the temporary construction.
Henry, would you say in your experience that sometimes the residents are ignorant of the law in the town about constructing sheds and whatnot and find out later on that they wouldn't need permits?
If we find every person that did something unknowingly without a permit or knowingly, and half the town would probably have violations. It's a common thing for people to, especially for sheds and fences, to be honest with you. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I can understand it. I'm going to make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second. It's Warren.
Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount is still not here. Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
I abstain.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Hutchinson, you've been granted an approval by the board for your fence and your shed. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and mail a copy.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Let's move on to number 720-ZV-20/21/22B. Macedonia Original Free Will Baptist Church.
Good evening, board and attorney. This is Diane Bulis on behalf of Macedonia Church. As you may recall, when we left this application last month, there was a request by the board to go view the property. There was also some discussion about whether or not there was going to be conversation with residents. I need to investigate that. And also, I've been advised today that there was a stack of pictures that were presented to the board. I just got those today as well. They appear, according to this unwritten, unsigned letter, that they were taken by a Mr. Saeed. Obviously, I'm going to have to authenticate same if they are going to be admitted into evidence. I also have Mr. Steiger here to address what's in the photos, as well as the Reverend, if necessary.
Please proceed.
Okay, is Mr. Saeed here?
Hi there, this is Mr. Morris, Andrew Morris, 410 Highland Avenue. Hello everyone, hi, how are you? That's Kayon, everyone. Before I start, Mr. Saeed is, he might join us, but he said he had Ramadan tonight. So he would not, he might not be able to join us, but he did ask me to speak for him.
So Chairman, I would advise A, he needs to be sworn in, but two, if the photos can't be authenticated by the person that took them, then I would submit that they would not be submitted into evidence.
Well, let me call him. Maybe he can step out. I don't know, but I will call him now. He did just text me a few moments ago. He said that he, you know, apologized. He was in Ramadan, and I will call him right here, right now, so that.
Well, Mr. Bulis, can we take testimony from Mr. Stryker and have Mr. Morris call Mr. Saeed?
Well, yes, we could, except the problem is that if the photos are entered into evidence, then, you know, Mr. Steiger's testimony may be different. We could just assume that they are and have Mr. Steiger testify. That's a possibility. I also need to know whether any member has gone to the location and whether or not they've spoken to anyone.
And Ms. Dabulis, the photos have been distributed to you and to the board members. So I think you should proceed on the assumption that they have seen the photos.
Okay. How about whether or not there has been any member who has gone to the site and spoken to anyone? Because I just have to put an objection on the record.
Well, I've gone to the site, but I didn't speak to anyone.
Anyway.
And could any other members advise whether or not they visited the site and whether or not they spoke to anyone when they visited the site?
This is Warren. I visited the site. I did not speak to any resident.
Any other members of the board? Hearing none, Mr. Bull, okay. You can continue.
Mr. Steiger, if you could identify yourself and if he can be considered as well as a planner and as a traffic engineer.
Yes, my name is Joseph Steiger, S-T-A-I-G-A-R. I hold a professional engineer's license and a professional planner's license in the state of New Jersey. And I've appeared and testified last month on this matter.
Were you sworn in last month?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth.
I understand.
Mr. Steiger, can you tell us, you've reviewed the photographs that were presented by someone to the board?
Yes.
That correct? Yes.
That is correct.
And let's just assume for the truth of the photos, which we do not assume, but for purposes of your testimony, can you please advise what your position is from a traffic perspective on those photographs?
Yes, well, those photographs depict parking on both sides of the street, concentrated on Highland and Ludlow streets, Highland Avenue and Ludlow Street. There's also photographs of the school, Martin Luther King School, with school buses, and it, I would assume that, as all schools have, parents picking up their children, the frontages of the school are filled with vehicles as well. I know the school has a lot of activity. It has PTA nights. It has a lot of after school nights and extracurricular activity. I can't tell from the photographs if the parked cars are from the school, which is literally a short block away, about 250 feet away. So certainly any spillage, and the school does have limited parking, but any spillage of parking on those types of nights would certainly trickle down to Ludlow and Highland Avenue. I've been to the church on Sundays, and we've done parking studies. The number of parked cars, that maximum number on a typical service on a Sunday morning, is in the order of about 40 vehicles. The parking lot holds 38 cars or 38 parking spaces. So in no way, in my understanding of how the church is operated, and what I've seen from my inspections, that there would be that type of vehicle parked cars generated by the church. Now, that's not to say on Easter morning there might be more cars, or if there is a popular person who's had a wedding or a funeral or something like that, on those very rare occasions, there may be additional cars from above and beyond what I saw. But those are very unusual situations that typically happen at any house of worship. You just have those types of days, holidays and special occasions. But on a typical Sunday, the order of magnitude of parked cars can be contained within the parking lot. Maybe some people choose to park in the street rather than park in the parking lot as a matter of convenience. But the amount of cars that I've always seen has been in the order about 38 to 40 vehicles, which replicates the number of parking spaces on site.
Mr. Steiger, is it your opinion that the application that's presently before this board does not exacerbate the parking condition? As my apologies, I've got two dogs here. Does not exacerbate the situation, the parking situation, as the they are self-sufficient and park in their driveway?
Yes, the four houses, single family homes that are proposed, have sufficient parking. They meet the ordinance requirements. They meet the RSIS standards. We're not taking away any parking away from the church. We're actually maintaining a very large buffer area, or undeveloped area, for the church, so that in the future, should the church ever choose to expand their parking for whatever need, they have that ability. And there's an order of magnitude of at least 55 parking spaces that could be attained on the remaining area. So we're not having any negative impact at all by the granting of the variance for the undersized lot for the church.
And Mr. Steiger, in your professional opinion, how do you address the question or argument from a resident that says reducing the land coverage or acreage of the church property is going to compound current parking issues?
And I totally agree, disagree with that, that it does not. The parking lot will still remain the parking lot that's there, and it serves the current purposes of the church.
Mr. Sykes is on the phone. He called in, just so that you know. I know you were waiting for that.
Okay. Thank you, Morris. We're in the middle of testimony from a witness right now. Thank you. Ms. Dabulis, you were muted during your question.
I didn't know if this Mr. Steiger had anything additional to add.
No, that's all I have.
Ms. Dabulis, I'm going to mark these photos as 01 since we've been talking about them for identification.
Okay. So I would like to speak to whoever took the photos.
Mr. Morris has advised that Mr. Saeed is now available on the telephone.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can, sir.
Yes, we can. Were you sworn in at the last hearing, sir?
Yes, I was here in last hearing.
Yes, and were you sworn in?
Yes.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth. Could I have your name and address, please?
Yeah, my name is Saeed Ahmed, and my address is 399 Highland Avenue, Piscataway.
Thank you. I believe that the applicant's attorney has some questions for you.
Mr. Saeed, you've submitted 24 photographs. They appear to be from different days, and some appear to be repeats. I have a couple of general questions. Are you the person who took all of the photographs?
Yes.
And when did you take the photographs?
This was over a period of time, not like 1 day or 1 month, several years.
Okay, do you have any specific identification of when you took the pictures and which pictures were taken at which time?
The pictures were taken dated ranging from 2010 around until 2014.
Okay. Okay. So the pictures were taken over 7 years ago at best.
Yeah. I had initially wanted to build a case because there were other church issues that was that we went through, erecting of a tower. There were, you know, they were trying to build affordable housing. We made a case for that one. So for all of these time, I was trying to build a case, and that was the picture. Then after it, you know, number of this incident, then it has been, you know, taken away and it was dissolved and everything. Then I just, you know.
How did you maintain these photographs from 2010 and 2014?
On my computer.
Okay. Do you know whether or not any of the photographs were taken on a Sunday? And if so, what time?
They were taken on Sunday, Saturday. They were also taken on, some of them were on the night days. If you see, some of them were, you know, darker pictures, which were taken over on the, at nighttime. There were cases where there were Saturday church, Sunday church, and morning church, afternoon church, even in late night churches. And whenever I could take the pictures, I took the pictures just to show that in different time of the day it was
the case. Do you have any proof that these photos were taken during a time when the church had services?
I could look in my computer to see the dates. I know usually the pictures come with a print of whatever the dates are. I do not know if those are going to be accurate enough.
I don't have any further questions for Mr. Saeed. I find the photos, he's unable to authenticate when he took the photos. I would object to their admission. I also can have the Reverend testify about the condition of the parking as it presently exists. These photos are stale at best.
Okay. For the zoning board members, you've seen the photos. There's been testimony about the photos. You can consider the photos. However, please consider the status of when they were taken and the testimony of Mr. Saeed.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Do any other members of the board have any questions? Is it Mr. Stryker or Steiger?
Steiger.
Steiger. Just if he could just reiterate the point that these homes that are being proposed all come with driveways and garages, correct?
So that parking, is correct.
So additional parking by these new residents would not affect the streets.
Not at all. We essentially have four parking spaces for each home, garages as well as the driveways. And okay. That meets the ordinance requirements, that meets the RSIS requirements as well.
Okay, thank you.
And welcome. Mr. Steiger, could you just sum up on the one variance as to the amount of the property?
Yes, that deals with the church. Church is a conditional use that requires 2 acres, and we're at 1.21 acres. It's a small building, a small church. It has 40 parking spaces. Capacity in the building has services Sunday mornings of about 100 people, maybe a little bit more, 105, 110 people that come in 38, 40 cars, which makes sense. Families come in an average of 3 per car, 2.5 per car is what the typical standard is for the church. So there's sufficient parking. And I really don't believe, in my opinion, of what I've seen, how the church operates, even except maybe for very unusual conditions, that those pictures represent cars that are generated by the church. And they very well may have been generated by Martin Luther King School with the amount of activities that go on at the school and what we know of how schools operate. So I find it very non-credible to say that all those vehicles that are parked on both sides of the streets, all surrounding the church, including the church parking, were generated by the church. I have not seen that condition at all.
Thank you, Mr. Steiger.
You're welcome.
Mr. Melissa, I would ask that we could talk to the Reverend if we could. I have some questions about the church itself.
Okay. Reverend is Linwood Roos. Yep.
I'm here.
Excellent.
Reverend, I always hesitate to do this, but I...
you know I will affirm.
I have to swear you in to tell the truth. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I will affirm.
Thank you. Could I have your Linwood, and it's your last name, R-O-U-S-E?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend. Reverend, I earlier today sent you the 24 photographs that were forwarded to me by Piscataway Board. Did you have an opportunity to take a look at them?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and were you also on the phone when I went through some questions with Mr. Saeed about when those photos were taken?
Yes.
Okay, so you understood they were taken at a minimum 7 years ago. What we'd like for you to tell us is pre-COVID, which would be the appropriate time because we know in COVID it was a little bit less. Can you tell us when, if at all, you have an overflow of parking from your parking lot, first during services, and then if you could tell us at any other time?
Right. A lot of it you have already mentioned about on a normal Sunday. We do have a capacity of maybe 100 and maybe under the 40 cars or less on a normal Sunday. Now, those photos are very hard to give any reference to because it's just hard to say what it was. I do know the ones that I really could give reference to was the time that we shared our parking lot with Martin Luther King School. We was approached years ago by the principal, and they asked if they, you know, if they got some, if it was some overflow, could some mothers and fathers park there? And quite naturally, being neighborly, we always said yes. And so that was the only thing that I could actually make out of, because where they were, how it was photographed down Ludlow and filtered over into the parking lot and even down in Highland Avenue. And we never had a problem. I thought they were very safe, very quiet. It was just something we were doing for the school and the kids. And then the other ones that I saw was, it was hard to figure out what that was, if it was a wedding, if it was a funeral, which is normally the time that we get overflow. We do have sometime community members who pass away that have no church, no place to have a service at. And so we open our doors. And sometime we don't know how many people are coming to visit, but we do the very best we can to accommodate them. And that's not for a long period of time. Service may last for an hour at the most. So those are the only ones that I can really speak to and really give you know, reference to. Those are the two occasions.
One other question: has your membership decreased or increased since the last time when that traffic study report was done by Mr. Steiger in 2015?
Yes, it has. We have had a matter of fact, a big migration since 2014.
Increased or decreased?
A lot of our retired members are moved south or other places from Piscataway, which we don't. They're not there anymore. And matter of fact, sometimes there's very few.
I don't have any further questions for the Reverend.
Reverend, this is Chairman Cahill. How are you?
I'm good. You?
Can you tell me when the church was established?
In 1924.
And that structure or that location has been
this
there?
This is the second structure. This church that's there now, it's been there since 1984.
Okay.
Join the meeting.
Do you have any plans to upgrade the parking lot at all? When I was out there, it looks like there's potholes and there's stuff where I would see that people wouldn't want to park in a certain spot because it's got debris or whatnot on the ground. I was wondering if there were any plans, maybe you might want to clean that up a little bit.
It's possible if we can continue on the track we're on that we will have probably get a new parking lot if we can raise the funds, whatever, but it is in our and has been in our plans to upgrade Good. Our parking lot.
Okay, thank you. Any other members of the board have any questions for the Reverend? Hearing none. Jim, should I open it to the public for the testimony of Mr. Steiger and Reverend Rouse?
Ms. Dabulis, do you have any other witnesses or evidence to offer the board?
No, I do not.
So now would be the time to open it up to members of the public who wish to question the witnesses or comment on the application.
Okay. We'll open the public portion now. Laura, anyone?
Mr. Morris?
Mr. Morris. Yes, hi there again. How's
Hi, everyone? Mr. Morris, how are you?
Mr. Morris, you remain sworn in to tell the truth. Just give us your name and address for the record, please.
Andrew Morris, 410 Highland Avenue.
Thank you.
Piscataway. So the answer is yes. We, meaning the community residents, we are in favor of the four houses that they applied for. We have no problem with that. So the problem, though, I think that came up last time was the parking issue. And the parking issue is relevant, and I'll say to Mr. Steiger and to Ms. Dabulis, because you are correct. It is back in history, and it shows over a period of time that this is not a sudden or new or one-time occurrence or two-time occurrence. It has been, this is what occurs. And the church is not only open on Sunday. It might be Monday or Tuesday or a Saturday for whatever it might be, a Bible study or a special guest. So churches are active buildings and they service a lot of different needs. So those traffic parking issues are ongoingly. Mr. Steiger never saw it because he doesn't live here. And so he doesn't know except for the 1 or 2 days that he might've come. But if you live here, the pictures show that they are here. So that part is 100%. But again, I would ask that the waiver variance for the area, lot area, acreage not go through, because they should, meaning the church, Reverend Rouse, should comply to the town ordinance to build the four houses when he already has enough land to build them. So to move it over 10 more feet or 30 feet, which is like 10 yards, like a football thing, means naught. But to go back in history, you guys know the zoning board and sort of Reverend Rouse, at some earlier, Macedonia wanted to build 8 houses. And that got mediated or mitigated to about 4 or something or 6. And that's why they applied for 4. But if they move back, if you move it back 10 feet, then yes. And I think Steiger said so his own self, at some future time, it leaves more room for 4 more houses. Which is a total of 8. So to be in all honesty to everyone, we should all be honest and say the truth. If you apply for four and you have room for four, let's do four. Why move it back when it's not necessary for the four and then go forth with it? We go yes to that. That's a good plan that I think the community residents all agreed with, to comply with the ordinance and just build the houses. And then we're, you know, fine with that. We're all good with that. The parking becomes an issue, but, you know, it's good with the four houses.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Ms. Buckley, any other hands for you?
Brian.
Hello. Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road.
I believe you were sworn in at the last meeting, sir.
I've been sworn in at countless meetings, but if you'd like to do it again, we can.
Well, were you sworn in at the last hearing on Macedonia?
Yes.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth.
Okay, I just had a question. What was the date of the parking study that was done?
It was September 20th, 2015.
Okay, and the pictures ended in allegedly 2014, correct?
That was the test one.
So the pictures are somehow stale, but the parking study isn't? Is that what's being suggested here? Like,
well,
1 year is...
The parking study was done on a typical Sunday. The Reverend, you heard from him, the amount of people who attend services has actually decreased. So it was higher back then in 2015 than it is today, or 2020, let's say, before COVID pandemic. So I believe they're representative of what happens on a typical Sunday.
Okay, I was just confused.
The photographs, we don't even know when the photographs were taken. There's no date. There's no time period. I took our surveys on a Sunday, 20th of September at 10:45 and thereabouts a.m.
Okay, I was just confused how the parking study could be considered current in 2015, but the pictures from as late as 2014 could be considered stale. That's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Ms. Buckley, anyone else with the hands?
Mr. Malloy.
Can you hear me? Yes. Yes,
Mr. Malloy.
Mr. Malloy, were you sworn in at the last meeting?
Yes, I was.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth. Can you give us your name and address again, please?
Alexander C. Malloy, 311 Roosevelt Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Well, to continue with what Mr. Morris, Andrew said, the parking has been sort of a problem. It's not a big problem when there's a regular church service, but when you have other activities at that church, parking does become an issue. And I would kind of hate to see four or five houses built there and the church continue with that type of practice. It's probably not fair. I'm looking at the future. The church is on 1.5 acres, which is probably a variance in itself. Now they want to reduce it to 1.2. I don't think that should be for the future. I would hope that the church in the future will grow and that the building, you will extend the building. And when you do that, you should extend the parking. Basically, I think you should extend the parking now. So when you have activities that that require more parking is available. It doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense because there's no hardship here. There's enough land there to build those four houses without reducing the land that the church is on presently, which is a variance in itself. So why do that? I mean, variance to me is for hardships, not for people just as one. So with that said, I would say no to this variance.
Thank you, Mr. Malloy. Ms. Buckley, any other hands raised?
Carol Saunders.
Hi, am I muted? Or can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi.
Were you sworn in at the last meeting?
No, I wasn't at the last meeting.
Okay, I need you to raise your right hand.
Okay.
You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
My name is Carol Saunders. I live at 5257 Lutlow Street. I'm actually the only resident on this street besides the school.
Thank you.
Okay. My question is, there is an abundance of open property. What is the proposed plans for that?
Nothing. There's no plans for any development on that property. It'll remain as it is.
So there is no future plans to build any homes there?
If I may, that there are no plans presently before this board, and there are no plans submitted, and there are no plans in the pipeline for those that additional property that is on the other side of the four homes that we are here for. And that's the only thing.
Okay, so if that's the case, why does the church need additional variance if the homes can be shifted?
Because that's not what this application is.
Oh, I thought it was for the variance for the church as well.
It is.
Well, that was my question.
Well, there, if I may, there's a variance, a conditional variance that we're asking for on the undersize of the lot of the church. But as the church is proposed, 1.2 acres, it certainly can service the typical needs of the church. And we're not using all the land up. There's a good chunk of land, about 40% of it, that will remain undeveloped. If in the future the church ever wants to increase its parking, if for some reason there's a need for it, that can still occur. So there's certainly sufficient reserve land to accommodate any future needs for parking. Right now, there is no need for that parking. The typical church services, which the parking should suffice for, is more than sufficient to accommodate the needs on a typical Sunday. There are extraordinary circumstances or occurrences, as any house of worship has, whether it's Ramadan, it's Rosh Hashanah, or Easter, or Christmas, that you have an influx of more people. And yes, during those time periods, you'll see more parking on the street. But we don't design for that ultimate, absolute worst case scenario, that doomsday scenario. Otherwise, you have every corner in our town. Township or Pascataway, that's going to be paved. So what we do is we look for a reasonable maximum, which is a typical Sunday. 40 parking spaces is needed. We have that essentially. And we're not changing. We're not increasing the parking demand or generation of the church. That's going to remain constant. So what's happening with the four houses has nothing to do with the parking situation of the church.
Okay, I wasn't talking in reference to parking. I'm trying to visualize, based upon your statement earlier, that if the additional parking needed, where would that go?
To the other side of the church, the building itself. There's a large expanse of land that will remain as the church property, that if it's ever needed in the future, could be expanded into a parking lot.
Okay.
So the size of the property that's proposed, the 1.2 acres that will remain for the church, it will continue to suffice for the size of the lot for the existing church.
Okay. A question, please.
Mr. Morris, we usually take new members of the public first before you get a second round.
Thank you, sir.
But you will be given an opportunity.
Ms. Buckley, anyone else?
No, I do not see anyone else, Chairman.
Mr. Morris, please proceed.
Okay, so hi again. So I agree with Carol Saunders. I guess the question is, why are they applying for a variance when it's not needed? Why are they, what is the issue with this variance? Why are they asking for a variance? I'll ask the attorney that, Ms. Doblis. Why are they asking for a variance?
The application as presented requires a variance. What Macedonia has in mind for the additional properties, could be could be open space, could be homes. I have no idea at the moment. There is no application presently before, and we can't make a decision upon conjecture that there could be in the future a roller coaster there.
True. So with that being said, then I'm going to turn to Henry. Then if you have the room for the current houses right here, right now, there would be no need for a variance of a size because there's no need for right here, right now, not conjecture for the future.
And that's not the application that we have before this board presently. So that's what we need to have decided is this application before this board tonight.
Right, whether that portion of the variance should be approved. And if there's land, then it's the town ordinances, if it's available, they should build it according to the ordinance. So I go, okay, because it already is on the variance. It was supposed to be 2, then it's 1.1, and now we want 1.2. So it would be like a double, triple variance.
Okay.
That's a true statement.
Thank you, Mr. Morris.
Yes, sir. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Have a good night. Ms. Buckley, close the public portion.
There's another a woman at, I believe, Mr. Malloy.
Sure, okay. I'm sorry. Hello?
She has to unmute.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can I have your name and address, please?
Adrian Malloy. 311 Roosevelt Avenue.
Ms. Malloy, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have a question and I hope it's not a redundant question. I just need a clarification on what is the hardship that's being imposed on the church with the current variances that you're asking for. Why do you need those variances?
Well, we're
as
the planner, I think I can answer that. The variances are conditional use. The size of the lot for a church is to be 2.0 acres, and we're asking for a variance of 1.2 acres. Why 2.0 is in the ordinance is beyond me. I don't know how that ever came about, but that's for a church, whether it's 10,000 square feet or 3,200 square feet. We have a small church, 3,200 square feet. We have a parking lot of 40 cars. We have, in addition to that, we have a large, expansive, undeveloped area that will remain as part of this application undeveloped. So it all fits in. It works. That's my planning testimony. That the size of the lot, 1.2 acres, works for this church, and so we've asking for that variance for not a hardship case so much, but that it's an inherently beneficial use and it meets the special reasons, the positive criteria. And then the negative criteria, does it have an impact on the neighborhood, the smaller lot? It certainly doesn't, because the church will function as it functions now with sufficient parking for the vast majority of times. So we meet the two criteria, the positive criteria and the negative criteria for the granting of the use of the conditional use rent.
Going from 1.5 to 1.2. That's a positive criteria.
No, the positive criteria is that we are inherently beneficial use. This is a use, a church that benefits the public. So it has a higher standard than if we wanted to put a Wawa store in or a Walmart or something else. So it's a beneficial to the public. That's the positive criteria. The negative criteria, does it create an impact, negative impact on the neighborhood? What we're asking for, an undersized lot, does not create a negative aspect to the neighborhood.
So when the church grows, what's the impact of doing this now, when and if the church grows?
So
You'll have more services. There's other ways to handle that.
And undersized lot would not affect that.
It would have to be managed properly. If it does grow, and it's all conjecture and hypothetical, we haven't seen that. That's not the history of the church. The history of the church is actually decreasing in population. But if it were to, another way to accommodate that is to have additional services on Sunday.
Yeah, that's also a hypothetical.
Thank you, Ms. Malloy. Ms. Buckley?
No one else, Chairman.
Close the public portion, please. Ms. Dubales, do you have any other?
Just very short. The planning testimony supports the inherently beneficial use of the church, which has requested so that it can survive and it can obtain funds be through the sale of its property so that it can survive. It has testimony that from our Reverend that in fact there's been a decrease in the number of people. The parking is sufficient on our application in and of itself. It is not going to exacerbate the condition. They have it will increase the appearance, and the variance is supported through the testimony of the planner.
Thank you. Anyone else on the board have any questions?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Up until last year, I was on the Piscataway Traffic Advisory Committee. I don't know if that's still around because I'm not on it anymore. And I just want to know if this all new plans would go before them. I just want to know if this went before them and if they had any recommendations.
We no longer have that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why we have
professional. Simple traffic. Answer there, I guess.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir. Y'all. Appreciate it. Anyone else on the board?
Ms. Dabulis, I do have to advise you that we have 6 eligible members this evening.
Did you hear us?
Yeah, I heard. I heard. Okay.
We're going to move forward?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple of statements I'd like to make. I was out at the property site, and the particular area where these homes are proposed to be built are an absolute eyesore. There's dead trees. There's garbage. There's raked leaves in Piscataway Township paper bags that are thrown. The area needs to be improved, I believe. I believe that these 4 homes would be an improvement. And Mr. Morris and several others have said they have no problem with the houses. It's the possibility that something might be built in the future. The problem is I have an application in front of me for 4 houses. I don't read tea leaves to find out if 5, 6, 7 years down the road, the church would want to build more homes. If they did, they'd still have to come before this zoning board and we would discuss it like we've just been discussing these last few months. I think that the 4 homes would be a major improvement to that neighborhood. The parking to me is always going to be a problem. We handle dozens of churches in the Piscataway Township and every neighbor has a problem with the parking because it is a product of the beast. On Sundays, on holidays, you're going to get cars parked in front of houses where they shouldn't have been. So, I can appreciate the neighbors, but the fact at hand is these 4 homes are coming with driveways that can hold up to 4 cars, mandatory garages, and their parking for these 4 homes should not exacerbate the current situation that is the parking at Macedonia Church. So that being said, I would like to make a condition. I'd like to make a motion to approve this application, but I'd like to make a condition that the parking lot be fixed.
A second.
Therefore allowing the neighbors a little compromise with getting some of the cars off the street. Do I get a second?
Mr. Chairman, you have a number of other conditions.
I'm sorry, John?
There's a number of other conditions.
That was just of my approval. I know there's other.
Oh, new one. Yeah. Okay.
There are numerous conditions that they agreed to at the prior hearing, and I'll take those from the transcript.
Okay. We need a second on the motion.
I second, Kalpesh.
Mr. CalPERS second. Thank you. Laura, call the roll.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Dabulis, your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it at our next meeting and send you a copy.
Thank you very much for your patience in this one. I appreciate it.
Have a good night. Jim, did you say that number 8 was off, Kiran Kaduri?
Yes, that has been adjourned until May 27th.
Got it. Let's move on, guys, to number 9, 21-ZB-16V, Howard Street Holdings.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Richard Angowski, Jr. I represent the applicant, 28 Howard Street Holdings, LLC.
Good evening.
We are here this evening on what is a temporary use permit application for four of the tenants of the property. I have with me tonight two witnesses. I have my professional planner, Mr. Paul Greigel, and I also have the contract purchaser, the principal of that entity, Mr. Michael Gore. We are a contract purchaser. Members of the board may know that on, I believe it was Tuesday night, there was a memorandum of understanding that was entered into between the township and the contract purchaser to conduct improvements at this property going forward. We're here for the limited purpose of the temporary use permits to get some ultimately temporary certificates of occupancy for the four tenants that were here on this evening. They are generally landscaping businesses, which are not technically permitted uses. I do want to be clear though, that we're not here on what would be considered a traditional D1 use variance application. We're here only on a temporary use application, which is provided for specifically pursuant to a township ordinance. Unless you have any questions for me right now, Mr. Chairman or Mr. Keneally, I'd like to introduce my first witness, Mr. Greigel.
Please proceed.
Very good. Mr. Greigel, I think you need to be sworn and then qualified.
Mr. Greigel, could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Could I have your name and address, please?
Yes, Paul Greigel, last name spelled G-R-Y-G-I-E-L, business address 33-41 Newark Street, Hoboken, New Jersey.
Thank you.
And Mr. Greigel, could you provide the board the benefit of your professional experience?
Yes, I'm a licensed professional planner.
Can I cut you off? Mr. Greigel, you've appeared as a professional planner before the board on prior occasions, haven't you?
I have both the zoning board and planning board in Piscataway, yes. I'm licensed. I have been since 1999.
And hasn't been revoked since you appeared before the board?
License is still current, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think he can be accepted.
I think his credentials are acceptable, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keneally. Mr. Greigel, instead of wasting anyone's time, I'll just let you describe the application in narrative form.
Yes, thank you. Very briefly, the application's regarding a existing property that's identifies block 1102-51.01. It has a lot area of 26 acres. It's already developed with a number of existing improvements. The property is located on the northern border of the township. It has frontage on multiple streets, Howard Street, South Avenue, Levgar Street, as well as the Lehigh Valley Railroad. As I mentioned, there's a variety of improvements in the property and non-residential uses, and also in the surrounding area. So this is a property that's been developed for some time, and it's in an area with a character that's been established with a mix of commercial, industrial, and some residential uses as well. The subject property is in the M1 industrial zone. This zone permits a wide range of non-residential uses, including all the uses permitted in the BP and LI1 zones. So, for example, offices, manufacturing, warehousing, shipping, receiving are all permitted, as well as other uses determined by the Board of Adjustment to be of the same general character. The issue is, though, that it's been determined we require a temporary use permit, but as was noted, the applicant will be coming back later with a more detailed application. But tonight, we're simply seeking this temporary use permit for the existing uses on the property. With regard to the what needs to be shown for this temporary use permit, in my opinion, what we're trying to demonstrate is that something similar to a use variance, but on a temporary basis, can be granted by the board. So I will briefly address why I believe that the uses that are existing and will continue on the property can remain. The subject property is currently utilized for the existing uses that are listed in the application. So they're primarily landscaping type uses. It has been for some time. And in my opinion, as a planner, the proposed continuation of the uses is appropriate given the site's particular size, its shape, its arrangement, and its location. As I mentioned, the property is over 26 acres in area, so it's rather large. It has multiple street frontages, but also large interior areas. Having the multiple street frontages also allows for different access points to help disperse traffic. So this isn't an example of a property with only one way in and out with all types of different uses and the associated traffic. Instead, it can be dispersed onto multiple roads. Notably, the property also has frontage and access from a main road, that's South Avenue, which is characterized by other industrial uses along its length. South Avenue also connects to the broader road network and major transportation routes. So I think the existing overall use of the property that is on there right now, the industrial and commercial uses, are well established. They fit into the character of the area. We also have existing and proposed future fencing and landscaping to help mitigate any visual impacts. These will be addressed in greater detail down the road in the future site plan application. But I think for the purposes of this board granting a temporary use permit, as I think those factors I cited are relevant in terms of your determination. I think there'd also be no substantial detrimental impacts from the temporary use permit, given the existing uses are already there. You have a property that's zoned to permit these types of uses. And even if they're not strictly permitted in the M1 zone, they're essentially the same in terms of layout and potential impacts. The township also has determined the site's appropriate for these types of uses. The M1 zoning is consistent with the master plan and the existing character of the area. So I think with those considerations in mind, the board can grant the temporary use permit without substantially impairing your master plan or zoning efforts, and certainly without any negative impacts on the surrounding area. So in summary, I would say, given all those factors, allowing the proposed uses to remain on the property would not have any substantial detrimental impacts. And again, they can be accommodated on the site given its considerations.
Thank you, Mr. Greigel. Do any members of the board have any questions for Mr. Greigel?
Do we have a time frame on the use variance?
Well, so the temporary use permit is good for 6 months.
6 months, okay. That's it.
And to answer further, Mr. Cahill, the applicant or the applicant contract purchaser will be bringing a full site plan application during that time period.
Perfect.
So we're going to be back before you. And at that time, the board is going to have many, many opportunities to help us put the site into a shape that they would want to see it in. And that's one of the important things.
Sounds great.
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Chairman. Attorney mentioned that they had come to agreement with the township on, what did you call it, a memorandum of understanding or agreement?
That's correct, Mr. Chadwick.
Are there conditions in that?
There are many conditions. If the board would permit, I could share my screen and I could just run through.
My suggestion in the report, I don't know if you've seen it, is it called a memorandum of agreement?
It is, Mr. Chadwick.
Is to make it a condition, if the board approves this, to make it a condition. Do you agree to that?
Mr. Chadwick, I'm sorry, I don't understand it. It was already, the township.
The agreement that you've come to with the township, make it a part of the zoning board approval if they approve this.
To answer your question as best as I can, as I understand it, the township already approved the form of agreement. It needs to be executed. So to answer your question, yes, it already is. They are already intertwined.
And the other thing is, your application is for four tenants. Clearly there's more than four on this site.
That's correct.
What is the township to do for 6 months going forward? Chase those out of there?
No, those tenants are permitted uses. But what we're doing is the township is going to send out inspections, and we're going to apply for the COs, the temporary COs for those tenants. So when we're back before the board at that point, the board's going to have the opportunity to see all of the tenancies. The reason why we're here this evening is because the four tenants that we're here on are not technically permitted uses pursuant to the ordinance. But those tenants, although they're permitted uses, they will be addressed during the full site plan application. We still have to go through the township. We're going through the building department.
Does that memorandum of agreement require you to do any site improvements over the next 6 months?
It requires us to do many site improvements. So over the next 6 months, it requires us to begin work on the exterior perimeter of the property with some sidewalks and some curbing. The applicant will be doing that.
That's all in the agreement.
It is. If you'd like, okay. I can read from it for you. If you
no,
like.
I don't think we need to take everybody's time.
Okay, but well, just let me be clear about exactly what it will require. It will require us to install curbing and sidewalks in the right-of-way surrounding the property. And within 120 days of closing, and take all necessary steps to complete the installation within 60 days of the start of construction. So yes, we will be completing improvements.
I have no other questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Angelowski, do you have another witness or additional evidence?
I would like to just call the contract purchaser, Mr. Gore, briefly, if he could be sworn, Mr. Keneally.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Do.
Could I have your name and address, please?
Michael Gore, 11 Unami Lane, Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
Can you spell your last name, please?
G, as in George, O-O-R.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Mr. Angowski.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gore, you are the principal of the contract purchaser of the property, correct?
Correct.
And as a contract purchaser of the property, you also intend to occupy the property with your business, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And as of this time, it's your intention to be on the property for a long period of time, correct?
That's correct.
And you also intend to conduct major site improvements over the course of the coming years to make this property compliant with any variances and or waivers that this board may grant in the future, correct?
Correct.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say to inform the board about your intentions for the property?
Only that, first of all, it's nice to meet you all. And secondly, that when we get done with that property, it's going to look a lot different than it does today.
Do any members of the board have any questions for my client?
That's my job, by the way.
Oh, I apologize. That's okay. I sit on a zoning board scale. I'm so used to going directly.
It's quite all right. You gave me a little break there. I like that. Does anyone on the board have any questions for this applicant and or this witness?
Who's asking?
Oh, Warren, it's Sean. Anyone else? Okay, I'll open it to the public portion. Anyone in the public portion have any questions about this application or comments?
No one here.
Hearing none, public portion's closed. I make a motion to approve this application with the conditions.
And I'll second.
There's no conditions, sir. Yeah. Jim, there are no conditions, right?
Just that they return to the board within 6 months of the site plan application.
Got it. Yeah, I stand by my approval. We'll call a roll.
I'll second.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando? We lost Bill.
He got upset about that zoning commission.
He's waving. He's muted.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Thank you. And Chairman Cahill.
Yes.
Mr. Angowski, your temporary permit's been granted.
Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.
You have a great night, sir.
Good luck. Thank you very much.
Let's move forward to number 10, 20-ZB-75/76V, Harris Realty Company.
Thank you, Mr. Cahill. My name is Tim Arch. I am an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, here representing the applicant, Harris Realty Company, LLC. We're here before you with a preliminary and final site plan approval with waivers and a use variance. We're requesting a use variance for not to run with the land. We're actually requesting that a condition of that use variance be a period of time of 4 years, at which point it would expire. The reason being is that, as you'll hear, we do have a specific use for the property, but ultimately the property in question, the goal is to have it be a conforming use, a shopping center at some point in the future. But we do have specific conditions as to the property now. We do have, I do have two witnesses planned. I have our engineer, Mr. James Theon, and I also have Jim Higgins. He's our professional planner. Also present is Mr. Marvin Strauss. He's the applicant's representative. If there's any specific questions that the board has for him at the end of our presentation, he's here to answer those as well. Just as part of some housekeeping, I would ask if the board attorney has reviewed the notice and if we are properly have jurisdiction in front of this board.
I have reviewed the notice and the board has jurisdiction to proceed on your application.
Thank you. And I will note that I am in receipt of three staff reports, one from Mr. Hinterstein that is dated March 2nd and revised on April 16th, one from Mr. Chadwick dated April 19th, and then a DNR engineering report that is dated April 16th as well. I believe those are the only staff reports that were provided in this matter. Just as a real brief overview, what we're proposing is we're proposing on three Lakewood Avenue, which is currently an open field. We're proposing to do outdoor storage of steel material as a principal use. So currently it's an empty field. There's a future quick check that's gonna be built next to it. It's across from the Pepsi distribution facility, and really the purpose is simple. It's open outdoor storage for steel, not for construction equipment, not for construction vehicles, not for additional various things. Essentially, it's simply that it's just steel, and it'll be brought in on a trailer bed. It'll be either unloaded or it'll be kept staged on a trailer on the property. The property will be bermed and landscaped along the front and on the side, and it has railroad to the back, so it's going to be greatly shielded from view. I don't want to steal the thunder of my other witnesses, so I think at this point I will turn the floor over and ask Mr. Theon to be sworn in.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
My name is James Theon. My last name is spelled T-H-A-O-N. And my address is 2430 Highway 34, Building B, Suite 102, in Manasquan, New Jersey. And fun fact, I am also a resident of the township of Piscataway.
So you'll participate in the public portion as well, I guess.
Yes.
So Mr. Theon, can you just tell us what your title is? You're at Bowler Engineering, correct?
Sure, I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. I'm a branch manager of the firm of Bowler Engineering. I manage the Manasquan office. I've received my Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering and a minor in Environmental Engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I've designed many sites similar in nature to the one that's before this board tonight, and this site was designed under my jurisdiction. My license is currently in good standing.
And have you been admitted as an expert in front of this board in the past?
I haven't been admitted in front of Piscataway Township, but I have been admitted in front of numerous boards throughout the state of New Jersey.
His credentials are fine. You can proceed.
Mr. Theon, if you can just give us, I'm going to basically turn it over to you, if you can just give us an overview of the site and your testimony, and then if we could go through those reports.
Yes, I would be happy to. So to do so, I'm going to share my screen. So let me get some head nods when everyone is seeing what I'm sharing.
You're up.
Excellent. So what you see before you tonight was submitted as part of the application. So Mr. Clarkin, do you prefer this be marked as an exhibit if this is something that's already in your information packet?
If this was submitted as part of the application package, it does not need to be separately marked.
Excellent. So what I'm referring to is the preliminary and final site plan that was submitted, and specifically the cover sheet, just to briefly acclimate the board to the location of the site. So this aerial that we're looking at is from 2015, and north is to the top of the page. The site that we're looking at tonight is known as 3 Lakeview Avenue, and specifically block 703, lots 1.05 and 1.06. And lot 1.05, where my mouse hand is really the star of the show tonight as part of the application. The site has approximately 1,070 feet of frontage along Lakeview Avenue and is currently bordered to the north by the Conrail main line. This is an active railroad and a residential zone. It's bordered to the west, where my mouse hand is, by the New Market Pond, as well as a residential zone boundary line, to the south by Lakeview Avenue with the PepsiCo that Mr. Arch said was in close proximity to the site. And then to the east of us is the Quick Check that's currently under construction, with New Brunswick Avenue beyond that. So as you can see by this aerial exhibit underneath this hatch overlay that we have there, the site's currently vacant. If you drive by there today, you're gonna see it's really overgrown. There's actually a nice mature vegetative buffer along the frontage, which is primarily gonna stay in place there. And then along the rear property line as well, you'll see, and as long as the west property line, there's also mature vegetation that will stay as part of this application. I'll now, within the same drawing set, flip over to, again, what was submitted as part of our information packet. It's the overall site layout plan, again, prepared by Bowler Engineering, with north to the top of the page. So the reason we're here before you tonight in front of the zoning board is we are proposing a temporary outdoor storage area that'll be approximately 5.99 acres. And when we say temporary, we're defining that as a 4-year total time that this will be used. The temporary storage outdoor storage area is not a permitted use within the shopping center zone. Just briefly about the use itself before I discuss the plans. As Mr. Arch stated, the use of the site will be to store steel materials, potentially for active construction sites in New York City, should it become required. And so we are anticipating that this would happen over a period of 4 years, and it's really just to store material. And that material, at its highest point, the steel would be stacked at 8 feet in height. And we're anticipating that could be stacked on the back of trailers. And those trailers have about a bed height of about 4 feet. So the 4-foot bed height plus the steel on top of it puts it about a 12-foot total height of material that could be stored at this property. Additionally, at this property, you'll see that we are proposing that there be a temporary structure. And so I'll actually point you to that, where my mouse hand is. It's 11 feet wide by 13 feet long and approximately 10 feet tall. And this is just a temporary structure for those activities on site to act as shelter if there's inclement weather, when there are some loading operations happening there. And so what we're expecting is that there'd be about 2 forklifts that would be staged on site, as well as 1 tractor for loading, just to support the activity when it became necessary for the steel to be brought in and out of the site. And we're really anticipating this to be very minimal in the grand scheme of things, where we're expecting at a maximum to be about 5 truck in and out movements on any given day if the site is in active use throughout a period of time. And the operations of that would be generally during daylight hours on weekdays and an occasional Saturday or Sunday weekend, again, only if it became necessary. So just to acclimate the board to the site, what you're seeing on the screen with this circular hatch where my mouse hand is the extent of the outdoor storage area. It's tucked away in the back of the site and would comply with the theoretical limit of the setbacks of the zone. So there's a 100-foot front yard setback. And so we don't have the storage area anywhere closer to the right-of-way than that 100 feet. The only existing nonconformity from the code with respect to the bulk requirements is the fact that the depth currently does not comply with the required depth of a lot per code. However, that's going to be unchanged as part of this application. To get into the site, we're proposing access off of Lakeview Avenue, which is a township road. We're proposing a 50-foot wide drive aisle where my mouse hand is here. This is to allow for smooth transitions in and out of tractor trailers to access the site to drop off or pick up steel. As they enter into the site, they're greeted by a 5-foot gate, which is in order to provide a measure of safety and security for the storage area itself. We are requesting a design waiver for the size of that driveway. It's 50 feet wide, wherein the code requires or minimizes or maximizes the driveway width to 35 feet, and we're proposing it at 50. But again, we need that 50 foot to adequately allow trucks to enter and exit the site with minimal impact then on Lakeview Avenue. I will point out along the frontage, that entire 1,000 feet, we are providing brand new 4-foot wide concrete sidewalk, as well as we will be happy to replace any damaged curb along that frontage when it is inspected by your township engineer. I'll flip now to our landscaping plan that was included as part of the set as well, just to describe the proposed buffering that's going to be proposed as part of this application to mitigate the views of the storage area from the road. And so to do that, I flipped over to sheet 701, C701, which is the landscape plan north, again, to the top of the page prepared by Bowler, including the application packet. And so what you'll see here where my mouse hand is on the entire frontage of Lakeview Avenue, we're proposing an undulating berm to give it a natural look, which would have a height of up to a maximum of 8 feet. On top of that berm, we're providing an additional 91 shrubs that'll be planted at 8 to 10 feet in height, which was a request of Mr. Hinterstein, at 15 feet on center. So we talked about the height of the storage in the rear of a site at a maximum. It would be at 12 feet on the top of a trailer bed, and the majority of it would be at 8 feet. So again, that berm is 8 feet, but on top of that, to mitigate any of the additional views that you may get from the site, we're proposing those shrubs along there that will grow quite nicely and act as a nice visual screen. And those shrubs will be at 8 to 10 feet in height. So you're looking at about 16 feet of buffering along the entire frontage of the site. And it's also of notable importance that where my mouse hand is along Lakeview Avenue, as I originally said, there is some mature vegetation that's out there today, and that's not going to be removed as part of this application, again, to further mitigate the views into the site. And with respect to the quick check that's along the eastern property boundary that's under construction, since that's a retail operation, we want it to be sensitive to them so that they're not looking into a storage area. And so what we're doing is we're wrapping our berm around that eastern property line, again, up to 8 feet in height with the evergreen shrubs on top of it in order to mitigate the views into the site of that berm. It was a request of one of your professionals or professional planner to discuss what the import would be expected for the site to make this berm and to bring in the gravel. We're expecting approximately 5,800 cubic yards of fill would need to be brought into the site, and we will comply with township requirements with respect to permitting to bring in that fill and for soil movement for the site. One of the waivers we are requesting from this board is the fact that a 75-foot buffer is required when industrial uses or commercial uses abut a residential zone. So if you can see where my mouse hand is on the north side of the site where we abut the railroad, that actually is a residential zone boundary line. So 75-foot buffer is required there. We're proposing it at 25 feet. So we are requesting a waiver from this board. However, it's my opinion, it's very minimal impacts. I think the idea behind that buffer is to mitigate impacts to a residential use or a home. There's no homes in close proximity to this site. So I think it is of minimal impact to them, and therefore requesting that variance for consideration from this board. With respect to the review letters reviewed and received by your professionals, I am now referring to the review letter prepared by Mr. Hinterstein, last revised April 16th. The applicant takes no issue with complying with the requirements within this letter. Referring to the letter prepared by Mr. Chadwick, dated April 19th. Again, I think most of these are really factual in nature or statements of fact. And so therefore we have no issue with them. I did discuss under comment 4 the need to provide the calculation for the import export of the site, and our anticipated truck route for that would be off of New Brunswick Avenue. We're expecting that trucks would likely come from 287 would enter onto New Brunswick Avenue, traveling northbound towards the site, and then use Lakeview Avenue at the main access that we have proposed where my mouse hand is to enter and exit and bring soil import to that site. Lastly, with respect to the DNR review letter, I had a very positive conversation about this letter with Mr. Carley, who is the author of this letter that's dated April 16th. And we have come to an understanding on this, the comments that are listed herein. So we agreed to work with him in a professional manner to satisfy his comments as part of this application. Tim, that includes my direct testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Than. And just to clarify on Mr. Hinterstein's report, we would agree to number two that an LOI would be provided as a condition of the approval. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And number six indicates that a Middlesex County letter is to be submitted. That's been submitted previously. Is that correct, Mr. Than?
That is submitted, and Middlesex County has offered an exemption for this project.
Then I would turn you over to the board for any questions.
Any members of the board have any questions for this witness or this application?
This is Warren. I just have one quick question. What's to the west of this property?
It's the New Market Pond. So if you were to drive further down Lakeview Avenue, you'd have those nice water fountains that you would see within the pond there in the river.
So the gazebo?
Yeah, very, very close by here. Yep.
So there's no buffer from from Newmarket Pond and all this, I guess, iron or what have you. There's no buffer. There's nothing that's going to.
So, yes, that's correct. So we're not proposing a berm in that location because along this property line where my mouse hand here is, I went back to the cover sheet that's part of your packet. There is a lot of mature vegetation on that side, and it's open public space. And as a matter of fact, the river cuts through there. So there's really not a view corridor as you drive down that road into the site where you would really be seeing this property or the outdoor storage area in the back.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I have a question. How high is that wild vegetation, would you say?
A couple feet? Yes, at a minimum, I would say there's a lot of mature trees that are along that property line. They could go up to 25 feet in height.
Thank you. Any other members of the board have any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public portion. Anyone in the public portion have any questions about this application or this witness? Ms. Buckley?
I'm looking. I do not see anyone, Chairman.
Public portion is closed.
I would ask that that we move on to my next witness. That would be Mr. Jim Higgins, my professional planner. He is available. There he is.
Mr. Higgins, could you raise your right hand? I swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
James Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S, 14 Tilton Drive, Ocean, New Jersey.
I believe Mr. Higgins has been accepted as a professional planner before this board on prior occasions.
Yes, and I am still licensed.
That's good news. Take his credentials, no problem. You may proceed, Mr. Art.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins, if you can please take us through your planning opinion as to this application.
Yes, surely. I did. I reviewed the application. I looked at the site. I looked at the expert reports that were submitted. I have met with talked with the applicant. We had several meetings on this application, so I'm totally familiar with the application. Rather than go and repeat everything that Mr. Theon said, he accurately described the site, the surrounding areas, and the application. The one thing that wasn't mentioned is that while there's going to be materials on trailers and trailers stored at the site, there will be no more than 8 empty trailers and no more than 8 trailers with materials on them and on the site at any one time. And I believe Mr. Chadwick suggested those trailers be parked towards the rear of the site. And I think the applicant has agreed that that's something that's possible that can be done. It's an unusual application because while it is a use variance, it's not one that's going to run with the land. It's one that's going to be limited to 4 years in duration because of the very nature of this application of the use and the need for the use. So when I looked at this, the first thing I really looked at was the negative criteria rather than the positive criteria. The site is in the shopping center zone. The proposed use, obviously, outdoor storage of steel building materials is not a permitted use in the zone. But the site itself, it's large, it's 10 acres, it's relatively level, it's somewhat isolated from surrounding properties. You have the railroad tracks to the north, you have the Wawa gas station and industrial uses in South Plainfield to the east, you have open space in a park to the west, and then you have the PepsiCo plant directly across the street. So I think when you look at the site, I think what's being proposed here, because it's basically a passive type of use, it's not going to have a substantial impact on the surrounding areas or on the surrounding uses. The site itself, the use will be screened from surrounding properties by the berms and by the landscapings in areas where it would be visible from surrounding properties or from the street. And about the only part of the site that would be visible from the street is where you would look through the entrance gate in the front. So I don't think there's any substantial negative impact to what's being proposed here. And again, the amount of activity on the site with a maximum of 5 trucks coming in and 5 trucks leaving during the course of a day, when you compare that to the PepsiCo site directly across the street, which I counted on a Google aerial, there were 140 trailers that are actually on that site that are ready for use. And there were a number of trailers in the one Google aerial that I looked at that were actually coming and leaving the site. So I don't think there's any substantial negative impact in terms of the traffic that would be generated by this use. The use itself, I think that there are special reasons. I think the particular suitability of the site, it's a large site, it's relatively level, again, it's isolated, and what's being proposed here is a passive use, which I think is ideal for this type of use. And the fact that it's a temporary use, it's gonna be for up to 4 years, I think is actually works to the benefit of this. It has access to major streets and access to Route 287 via both New Brunswick Avenue, which would, I think, be the primary access, but also via Clinton Avenue in South Plainfield, which is through an industrial area. So I think that adds to the suitability of the site. I think there's a need for the proposed use at present. The unique conditions which the applicant has described to the team that are created by COVID-19, which have resulted in a substantial slowdown in construction activity in the New York area, definitely creates a need for storage of these building materials in locations where, when the slowdown is over and building starts again, there's the ability to rapidly get those materials to the construction sites. In addition, the zoning of the site for shopping centers, while it's not obsolete at this point in time, the demand for retail space and for office space is very, very limited because of the COVID-19 situation, particularly where conventional retail is not in demand as it has been pre-COVID, and it will probably be in demand again at some time in the foreseeable future. But at this point in time, it's not really in demand, and it's not likely that this site would be developed as a shopping center in the foreseeable future in the next 4 years. So I think to put this site to an appropriate use that has no substantial negative impact on the surrounding properties, and in fact, in ways actually helps prepare the site for development as a shopping center at some time in the future, I think makes a lot of sense. So when I look at it, I think you do have the special reasons with regard to the particular suitability of the site to meet a current need for a limited period of time, and no substantial negative impact either to your zone plan or to the surrounding properties, I think the application can be granted.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Thank you.
Mr. Kao, I don't want to steal your thunder. I don't want to take
No. I was just wondering if anybody on the board had any questions for this applicant or for his planner. Hearing none, I'll open it.
I have just two questions.
Sorry, John. Go ahead.
One of the points in the memo we didn't talk about is the suggestion that all the trailer loads be in the rear of the property, not in the front. Is that a consideration, Mr. Either one can respond, I guess.
What, if I could respond to that, what I would, my hesitancy is that I don't want to limit the flexibility of the site, especially because I don't know exactly how many things are going to be there and when they're going to be, how they're going to be staged. I would say that with the berming, with the vegetation that's on top of that, I think any area on the site is going to be visually obscured and shielded from Lakeview Avenue. So we would certainly agree as a condition that we will make best efforts to coordinate the trailers in locations where they would be not be able to be seen from Lakeview Avenue. But to designate a specific portion of the overall site as trailer versus non-trailer, I think would limit the flexibility, since quite frankly, it's unknown exactly how it...
Let me interrupt you. Maybe we'll make it a mountain out of this. I've never seen steel piled 8 feet high on a trailer. How did we arrive at that number?
By measuring the actual material and the trailer.
As they came in, they were piled 8 foot high.
Well, I mean, obviously not in on this site, but it was measured from the on the trailer and the trailer itself.
All right, I accept your comments. The other thing is you've limited it, the equipment on the site, to some tractors and some forklifts. There will be no cranes.
My understanding is that there is no cranes that will be on the site. And that could be, and I don't see any reason why that can't be a condition.
I have no other questions.
Thank you, John. Anyone else on the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this witness or about this app?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, public portion is closed.
Thank you very much. That I think this is a relatively simple, straightforward way to use a completely underutilized space right now, and it's a need that we have at the moment. It's not going to be there forever, and I thank you for listening to our presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Arch. Appreciate it. I'm going to make a motion to approve this application. Jim, do we have conditions that I'm missing?
We have a number of conditions. One is, the main one is that it's in 4 years in duration.
Okay.
No cranes on site. Limited number that they're gonna work to keep it to the rear to the extent possible. And that's about it.
Okay, that reinforces my
and comply with staff approval.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Somebody second. Buckley, call the roll.
Hillary.
Thank you.
He yelled first.
Call the roll, ma'am.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Minarondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Arch, your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it at our next meeting and send you a copy.
Thank you so much. Everybody have a wonderful evening.
Great night now. Take care. Let's move on to item 12, 21-ZB-06. Sam NJ 44.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brian Chemish. I'm from the law firm Giordano, Hallard & Cecilia. This evening, I'm here appearing on behalf of the applicant, SAM NJ 44 Stelton LLC. The property subject of this application is block 1901, lot 6401 in Piscataway, 44 Stelton Road, and the applicant is currently the owner of that property. This board has previously granted site plan approval as well as variance relief in both 2016 and 2018, and the property is currently under construction in accordance with those plans and approvals. This evening, the applicant is here and seeks an amendment to its site plan in order to allow for modest modifications to a portion of its existing parking lot that was approved. This would be to remove one of the center islands in favor of expanding the sidewalk by roughly 6.2 feet. And part of that, part of the reason for that would be to allow for outdoor dining for the already permitted dining uses. Notice tonight has been provided in accordance with the MLUL submitted to the board secretary, and I would ask that Mr. Keneally confirm that this board has jurisdiction and that the notice was satisfactory.
I reviewed the notice. The notice is satisfactory and the board has jurisdiction to continue.
Thank you. In support of this application this evening, we'll present the testimony of both our professional engineer, Mr. Michael Dipple, as well as our planner, Mr. Nicholas Graviano. Unless there's any questions, time for me, generally about the project, I'd like to introduce Mr. Dipple.
Please proceed.
Mr. Dipple, would you mind giving the board your qualifications?
Let me swear him in first.
Sure, yes.
Mr. Dipple, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth so help you God?
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Yes, it's Michael Dipple, D-I-P-P-L-E. My professional address is 60 Grand Avenue, Englewood, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dipple. And would you provide the board with your qualifications?
Yeah, I appeared on this application the previous two times. I've appeared in front of Piscataway. I don't recall if it was a planning board or zoning board on other occasions.
Mr. Chairman, let me interrupt the witness. This board granted an approval to this on two prior occasions, most recently in 2018 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mr. Dipple appeared and was qualified then and remains a certified engineer in the state of New Jersey, I think you can accept his qualifications.
Absolutely, I agree. Please proceed.
I do, thank you. Okay.
Mr. Dipple, would you tell us about the proposed amendment to the site plan and what's shown in the site plan application that was submitted?
Yes, I think it's best for me to share my screen, so I'll do so. So what I have here is, I'm sorry, let me just get to the correct page. This is a copy of the site plan application that was submitted. It's called amended preliminary and final site plan. Pizzeria, diner, bakery, and now we added patio expansion. It's at 44 Stelton Road. And I will go to the existing conditions and demolition plan. So I'm just going to zoom in here. This is sheet CO2 of the package you have. So on the left side of the, sorry, let me get my directions right. The south side of the site, there is a small one-story building, which was approved for not only the existing bank to remain, but then three restaurant style uses. That's the pizzeria, the bakery, and the diner. And that's the most recent application. So what we have tonight is these restaurants will remain as is, that approval will continue to be valid, but we're asking for the removal of this island in the back. And maybe, I'm sorry if it's a little bit unclear, but there's a concrete island here with a little bit of landscaping and some lighting in the island. And that really kind of provides a barrier for the parking lot. So if you parked behind it, you would have to cross that little barrier. So we're proposing to remove that and extend the sidewalk in front of the building. Let me just go to the next sheet. So here is my site plan sheet. As you can see, under proposed conditions, we would make this more of a traditional parking lot configuration. And then this is where the expansion, I'm just running it here and zooming in, at the back of the existing building, you would see an expansion of 6.75 feet, I believe. That's to the edge of the curve. So so that's what's proposed. It's really just kind of taking the island out of the back and making this wider, of course, for the outdoor dining. And I'm sure I don't have to describe to people why the applicant might be interested in outdoor dining. That's what everyone's doing right now in the current state of affairs. So it is a fairly simple application that does have us come back here in front of the board for this modification. So as I mentioned, it's still pizzeria, bakery, diner, and bank on the end. The architecture, we're not proposing any changes to that. It's really just while we're under construction, I should just point out that the site is currently under construction under the prior approval. And while we're under construction, this all occurred, all this pandemic occurred. And this is the idea to expand that, to provide these restaurateurs with the availability of outdoor dining. So, and I would be remiss if I didn't show my colored rendering that my staff put together. So I just want to zoom in and show we still have the landscaped islands. This sand colored area here is the expansion that I described. The islands would be here, and we are proposing to replace a few trees throughout the site, one of which I see here on the end. And then throughout the site, we did propose two more.
And Mr. Dipple, was the colored rendering part of your original submission to the board?
It was not.
Okay, you're gonna need to submit a copy of that to the board, and we'll mark that as A1, please.
Okay, we'll say it's A1, all right. Okay, I think in terms of grading and drainage, there's really no impact to this. The site kind of drained toward that island, and there was a number of inlets. We would convert those inlets if possible, or as needed rather, to the proper type of inlets to not obstruct any flow or traffic or anything in that area. So engineering wise, there's very minimal improvement here. All right, I don't think I have much else, unless Brian, you want me to hit on any other.
Well, let me ask the board members quickly. Any board members have any questions for this individual about his testimony? No?
Mr. Cahill, are we gonna go through the staff report?
We're gonna do the site impact with this individual? That's fine with me.
We'll let the attorney.
We can do it with, I think, either Mr. Dipple or Mr. Graviano, and I'm happy to start. Mr. Dipple, as part of this application, can you confirm that we're not proposing any additional seating to what was originally approved?
Yeah, that's correct. This is really just to bring seating outdoors. So the original number of seats, which is shown on the plan here for each of the uses, if I zoom in, will remain. Of course, during the pandemic, restaurateurs are reducing the amount of seating indoors and trying to move some seating outdoors. So this expanded sidewalk just allows them that kind of room to keep their current customer base and their seating. So there is no increase in seating and there is no loss in parking.
So what you're saying is when the pandemic's over, and a successful restaurant on a Friday night is bustling, the same amount of tables are going to be here. We're not going to increase the seating capacity by adding a few tables outside for one of the establishments and keep the same amount of tables inside.
Well, that is the proposal, Mr. Hinterstein, at this time.
Okay, so then the tables will be, the amount of tables will be reduced inside the building to accommodate that same seating outdoors, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And to be
conditioned, Mr. Keneally?
Yes.
Can I interrupt a second?
Please, John, go ahead.
I think you need to clarify what the variant. Are you just trying to get outdoor seating during the period that the municipality has passed resolutions authorizing it? Or do you want to have outside seating, period?
It's the former. We're looking to for approval for seating outside during the period township's recent resolution is effective. As soon as the use is no longer permitted pursuant to that resolution, we would not seek to continue that use.
Okay, so you have authorization to do that without coming to the zoning board.
Which that's right, but our prior
is to amend your plan.
That's correct. We're here amending
how, the how do we rationalize setting up really a patio area for outside dining, and then it's going to disappear when COVID, if it ever goes away?
It's still a fairly modest.
It quacks, it walks like it.
I think this John, as you state, I mean, I don't have an issue more or less with the outdoor dining to the rear of this property.
I don't either.
It's just that there's barely a fraction of green space left on this property compared to what was here previously. My issue is that we just took out that whole island that may not have had a lot of landscaping, but it did have a few trees, and it did add more pervious coverage to the site. Again, I think you might have mentioned it, John. I know I mentioned it in my report, as I think at a minimum, I think some tree islands need to be added in between some of these spaces to at least add three trees to that center line of that proposed parking lot. And then I have concerns about there being no barrier whatsoever between the parking area and the proposed patio or increased sidewalk area. I think it's large enough where perhaps some earth-filled planters with some plantings could be added between the parking lot and the tables for, number one, for safety reasons, God forbid, and also to dress up that area so it's just not so so concrete heavy and just soften it up.
Yeah, I see the comment in both letters, and the applicant has informed me that they're willing to put the trees in. And Mr. Hinterstein, I believe something like the diamond shape, landscaped island throughout the, along that line would be appropriate. And I believe you mentioned you see an opportunity for three, if I read your comment correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then of course, Mr. Chadwick had the same comment about the tree island. So, by all means, we would be willing to do that. So I have authorization from the applicant to amend my plan. If we're successful tonight and I resubmit, that I would include that, and then we could make sure that we get the right species or whatnot in there. All right.
Mr. Dipple, do you know if any of the restaurant uses or are planning any kind of structures?
I'm sorry, can you say that again, Mr. Chadwick?
Do you know if they're any of the tenants, restaurant tenants,
yes,
planning any structures with the outdoor dining?
Yeah, I think that was another comment. We just haven't made it down to comment three of Mr. Hinterstein's letter yet, but in terms of the outdoor dining, a physical barrier is something that the applicant is interested in too. What we're doing right now is trying to figure out exactly how the interior fit out is going to go. So we haven't really gotten that far yet with the tenants, but we agree that there would be some kind of physical barrier, either in the form of a planter box or something that would meet the satisfaction of Mr. Hinterstein, I guess, right? You might be the one that's your comment who would approve that.
About the safety.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have that physical barrier between the parking and the people that would be dining outside. We just haven't figured that out. We got the comment yesterday, and we concur that. And if you'll allow us to return, with the plans and make sure that that's to your satisfaction, we could do that if we're successful tonight. So,
I'm satisfied with that.
So we concur with number two on your. I think I'm on Mr. Hinterstein's letter of April 21st. We discussed number one with no increase of the seating. Number two, we agreed to the trees. And number three, we agreed that we would put some kind of physical barrier, whether it be an attractive fence or a planter box, and that we would determine that prior to C of O, I would assume, that we would come up with some solution there.
And then I think number four, you had a discussion about the boxwoods. I'm sorry, Mr. Hinterstein, do you see damage to the boxwoods? I thought they were a fairly hardy plant, but.
They are, but because they're in such small spaces and you're gonna be salting the parking lot, this isn't even really a salt spray. I actually think salt's gonna land in these islands.
Okay.
And I don't think the boxwoods are gonna do well with the salt. That much salt is gonna be constantly sort of thrown upon them. Okay. Again, I'll leave that up to the, if the applicant really likes the boxwood, if they all die, he's gonna get a letter from the code enforcement saying he's gotta replace his landscaping. So okay. Something you may wanna consider. I'm not gonna really twist your arm on that one. If the applicant loves boxwood, it's just that if they die, he may wanna then consider a different species the second go around.
Okay. So that we will consider that. I will speak to our landscape architect who assisted us with this and see if he has a better idea. And then I appreciate that. And then number five, the Middlesex County letter, we have resubmitted this. We don't think that they're gonna have any issue with it, but you know, we did have approval from Middlesex County, I think twice before on this application. So on this site rather, for the prior application. So we see no issue with that. We just haven't received any correspondence back.
Okay.
I just want to clarify something I heard, Brian. Perhaps we can discuss the COVID versus permanent aspect of the seating. I don't believe that the applicant was looking for just during COVID. I think this application is for the seating outdoor for seasonal uses. Am I correct on that or am I not?
Yes, you are. And I apologize, I misspoke. And so the distinction here is that pre-COVID or post-COVID, we would not be seeking to increase the seats. But as Mr. Dipple alluded to, we'd have that barrier and seek to use this seasonal basis going forward during the period of the resolution and afterwards.
So,
just so I'm clear, so you are proposing an increase in seating?
No. We're not proposing, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Brian.
No, that's okay, go ahead, Mike.
We are not. It's imperative right now for the contractor while he's under construction to get approval for this so he can complete construction. So if we are successful tonight in expanding the sidewalk, he can complete construction of the site improvements which are ongoing right now. So time is a bit of the essence for him, you know, to finish up. Now, in terms of the seating, we're not proposing to increase any seating at this point. If, in fact, one of the tenants wants to increase the seating, they would have to come in and get an amended approval for an increase in seating. We're not proposing that tonight at all. This is really here to expand the sidewalk and provide the outdoor dining because the summer is coming. We all know that we're not going to be at 100% capacity inside of our restaurants, probably throughout the summer. So that's why seasonally, this is very important right now. Without floor plans and seating arrangements, we're not proposing an increase. So,
I want to interrupt again. I think you agreed that this application is for outdoor seating, period. It's not tied to COVID station.
That's correct, Mr. Chadwick.
Okay. And that goes back to what I asked before. My familiarity with these kind of issues is you're going to have a structure, you're going to have air conditioning in the summer, you're going to have heat in the fall. You're going to have a structure out there and you're going to be back here again.
Well, I don't, when you say a structure out there, we're looking for.
It's going to require a building permit. If you have to have a building permit, you have to have a site plan.
I understand. We're seeking right now tonight to expand the sidewalk and the ability to put tables and chairs out in that sidewalk, providing the barrier around it, which I promised to include in a resubmission. But we're not.
And you also want the outside seating not to be tied to a COVID resolution.
Well, that's correct, because we're expanding the sidewalk.
Let me just go beyond that.
Okay.
It gets into the notice issue. Is that what the notice called for?
I don't think I'm the appropriate person to answer that on our team, but.
Just pulling that up. The notice does speak to outdoor dining. It does not speak to the timeline for that.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions for this witness? Should I take it to the public, Jim?
Mr. Shemesh, do you have any other witnesses?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Dipple. At this time, I'd ask Mr. Graviano to come on screen.
Mr. Graviano, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Yes, my first name is Nicholas, last name Graviano, G-R-A, V as in Victor, I-A-N-O. I'm with Graviano and Gillis, architects and planners, with a business address of 101 Crawford's Corner Road in Holmdel, New Jersey.
Thank you, Nick. Would you please give your qualifications for the board?
Yes, I have been qualified by this board before in relation to this application back in 2018.
I think we're going to do the same thing we did with the last witness. I accept your credentials. Please proceed.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yes, I know it's getting late. I'll keep this very short.
Thank you.
The applicant is before you this evening for an amended site plan. There are no new variances that are required as part of this proposal. It is a very modest proposal of the sidewalk in the rear of the existing retail strip. I believe that the ability to do a very modest amount of outdoor seating. If you look at the amount of space being proposed back here, it is not large in size whatsoever. Will not create a substantial detriment to the surrounding community, as this site is surrounded pretty much by the parking lot and the street right of way to the neighboring property owners on Hopkinson Avenue. You have the park in the rear of the property, and you have the three-story brick office building on the other side of the property. So there's going to be no negative impacts by the increased sidewalk and the potential for seating in the rear of this commercial establishment.
Thank you, Nick. Just looking at Mr. Chadwick's letter, I believe that we have discussed all of his items, but Mr. Chadwick, was there anything additional for Mr. Graviano that you'd like to ask?
No, I don't want to harp on this, but I just don't want to see you bouncing back and forth between this board. If you're going to have outside seating and there's going to be some kind of cover structure out there, there ought to be uniformity between the three of them. Right now, it's tables and chairs.
I understand your concern, Mr. Chadwick, but I do believe this is a straight outdoor dining area where the, you know, tables will be open to the elements, and there is really not going to be any structure proposed as part of the seating. Like everywhere else that's accommodating the outdoor seating at the moment, this will not contain any structures, and it's going to be open to the elements.
Some umbrellas, and that's it.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, John. Any other members of the board have any questions for this man? Hearing none, I'm going to take it to the public. Anyone in the general public have any questions about this application or the witnesses? Ms. Buckley?
No, sir.
Public portion's closed. I would make a motion to approve the application with the conditions mentioned by Mr. Hinterstein. I'm sure Jim's got a whole list.
Yes, I don't know your conditions.
Good. So I'll make a motion to approve it with the conditions.
I'll second
that. Oh, yeah, give it to Kalpesh this time. Laura, you can call the roll.
I'm trying to see who lights up first when they talk. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application's been approved. We will memorialize it at our next meeting and send a copy of the resolution to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it,
gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to item 13, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of April 8th, 2021.
First resolution is Shobha Chopra. This was an amended application, which you voted to approve the amended application. Mr. Tillery and Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next application was Mohammed and Morel Asilien, which you voted to approve. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Cahill?
Yes.
Next application was Samantha Rodriguez, which you voted to approve. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Craig and Cheryl Gallen, which you voted to approve. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Ralph Dill. You voted to approve. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have for this evening.
Good. Item number 14, adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of April 8th, 2021.
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Number 15, motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
As aye. Always, gentlemen and ladies, thank you for your volunteerism.
Thank you.
I love you guys. Thank See you in a couple you. Weeks.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Take care.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.